Hello, welcome to our COVID-19 information session for Victorian providers and services. My name is James Hart and I'm joined by my colleagues Kelly Pearce and Laura Angus. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet today and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. I'd also like to extend my respect to any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today. On behalf of the department, I would like to thank the early childhood education and care sector for the hard work that they've been doing, especially in Victoria. We know you are under immense pressure, and right across the department we are working hard to help you navigate these difficult times. As you know, the Victorian Government has put in place restrictions to slow the spread of COVID-19. Under Stage 4 restrictions, services in metropolitan Melbourne can only provide care to vulnerable children and those whose parents or carers are defined as permitted workers. The rest of Victoria, including Mitchell Shire, is under Stage 3 restrictions. In response to these restrictions, the Prime Minister and Minister for Education announced additional measures to support services, educators and families in Victoria. Given the recent changes, we understand you do have a lot of questions. This session has been designed to outline the additional support from the Australian Government, explain your observations and answer some of the specific questions that we are aware of. In the lead up to this session, we surveyed Victorian providers. You told us you greatly value these sessions and you helped us to identify some of the key areas for us to address today. We have also drawn feedback from our childcare subsidy help desk and through speaking to stakeholders directly. Firstly, Kelly, I thought it would be helpful for you to start by going through the existing support being provided by the Australian Government.
Thanks, James. Since the 13th of July, under the transition package, providers nationally have had access again to the childcare subsidy and the ability to charge parents' fees. As well as this, eligible providers are receiving a 25% transition payment. Consultation tells us that this support is helping to keep services open and viable across the country. The government has then also been able to provide additional support for those groups with specific new needs, as it has done in Victoria.
So, Kelly, what is the government doing specifically for services in the Melbourne hotspot?
The Australian Government has increased the transition payment for childcare subsidy approved providers with services in Melbourne by an additional 5%. That brings the transition payment to 30%. 30%, and this payment will be made over for 6 weeks. Eligible providers should have received information about this additional payment. We are also providing further support to Melbourne services that receive low average childcare subsidy payments and are experiencing greatly reduced attendances. You may hear this referred to as the special transition payment or the low average CCS measure. The aim of this payment is to support a service where it is highly dependent on allowable absences due to low attendances, and on average the CCS they receive is proportionally low. It assumes that the service is waiving the gap fee, which should incentivise parents to keep children enrolled. For example, if on average parents collectively paid 60% of fees as a gap fee and attract only 40% of fees in CCS on average, this is low average CCS. Services whose CCS averages are lower than 50% and who have had a reduction in attendance below 30% may be eligible to receive additional payments of 10, 15 or 25%. We will identify and write to services in this category based on session reports. Please ensure your session reports are correct so we can accurately calculate payment. Providers will need to submit session reports no later than the 7th of September for this payment. Revised transition payment guidelines will be published this week.
Laura, we've recognised that different business models exist within the early childhood education and care sector. How have we done this specifically for outside school hours care in Victoria?
Thanks, James. In recognition of the challenges that the OSH sector faces with the move to home-based learning, an additional viability support payment will be made to OSH services across Victoria that experience a drop in attendance to 40% or less in the relevant two-week period compared with their reference period. For services in Melbourne and Mitchell Shires, eligibility is based on the 2 weeks ending the 2nd of August 2020. And for the rest of Victoria, it will be the 2 weeks ending the 23rd of August 2020. Again, please ensure your session reports are up to date and submitted no later than the 7th of September in order to receive payment. Providers with services in Melbourne and Mitchell Shire should have received their offer for this payment already. The rest of the Victorian offers will be sent out soon. The payment covers an 8-week period for services in Melbourne and Mitchell Shire and 6 weeks for the rest of Victoria.
And Laura, but what about additional support for families?
Thanks, James. An additional 30 days of allowable absences is being granted for all Victorian children. This increases the child's total absences count from 42 to 72 for the 2020-21 financial year. We are also encouraging services to waive the gap fee where a child is not attending due to COVID-19 and where an absence is recorded. The measures are designed to encourage families to keep children enrolled, which in turn secures CCS payments to services.
Thanks, Laura. The situation in Victoria has highlighted some specific questions that we want to answer now. Firstly, Laura, who is eligible and in what circumstances can gap fees be waived?
Thanks, James. Services and educators open and in a location with the stay-at-home orders in place are able to waive gap fees where a child is not attending due to COVID-19 and where the absence is recorded. You can also waive the gap fee if your service is forced to close on public health advice because of COVID-19. In-home care and family daycare providers are reminded that they need to apply to the department to be able to waive fees. These measures will be in place until the 31st of December 2020.
Okay, but can a service waive gap fees for children who are attending services?
Thanks, James, for the question, but no, they can't. They're only able to waive gap fees for children who are absent from care.
We've also been hearing from services located in New South Wales, close to the Victorian border. Can they waive gap fees for Victorian children that usually attend their service but are absent due to the restrictions?
No, they can't. Services located outside of Victoria are not eligible to waive gap fees for absences, even if they have enrolled children from Victoria.
Okay, thanks, Laura. Can an FDC or in-home care service in New South Wales located near the Victorian border, which has approval for educators in both states, are they able to waive gap fees?
Yes, they are, but only with the educators located and providing care in a location where a stay-at-home direction is in place. In that instance, they can waive gap fees where the child is absent from care.
Thanks for that, Laura. Kelly, over to you now. Will the transition payment be extended considering what is happening in Victoria at the moment?
We continue to review the implementation of the transition package. Now that we have returned to CCS, we are starting to see new data which will help us consider any next steps and recommendations to government.
Thanks, Kelly. What should educators do in the situation if their service is not passing on the transition payment to them?
If educators are uncomfortable with the arrangements they have in place with their provider, they should first talk to their provider. If they still have concerns or believe the provider is not meeting their obligations under the transition payment, they can contact the tip-off line, which may trigger further inquiries.
Okay, can services reduce the number of hours their employees work?
During the transition period, providers must offer some work to each employee protected by the employment guarantee. Can I also add, it's our expectation that services will continue to pay their staff, given they are getting the 25% transition payment.
Thanks, Kelly. That's really helpful. Laura, if a service is closed due to COVID-19 reasons, can it then increase the hours of care set out in a child's entitlement to increase CCS income while offering no care?
No, James, they can't. The department would view such arrangements as an attempt to defraud the Commonwealth on the part of both the provider and the family. It is entering a contract for a service that cannot be honoured, where the intent is purely around increasing the income from the Australian government rather than the providing of care for the child. Any allegations like these that a provider is entering into such arrangements would be investigated by the department, and compliance action, including potential criminal prosecution for fraud, will be taken.
Thanks, Laura. Given the possibility of other hotspots emerging in Australia, what contingencies does the department have in place?
Thanks, James. The department is preparing for various scenarios. We continue to monitor, as Kelly said earlier, the situation in every state and territory, and we are in regular contact with the sector by way of our both formal mechanisms through reference groups and other individual conversations we might have with stakeholders as we go.
Thanks, Laura. We hope that you have found this information helpful. We understand that you may have other questions as the situation continues to evolve. I want to encourage you to access the resources that we have available, that we have developed, and we will continue to update them. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our newsletter. Go to dese.gov.au/subscribe. Our main webpage on COVID-19 has links to a host of resources. The entry point is www.dse.gov.au/COVID-19/childcare. The Victorian Department of Education and Training is also providing advice on its website, and you can call their hotline on 1800 338 663. Our Childcare Subsidy Help Desk can be reached by email at any time at ccshelpdesk@dese.gov.au. You can also call the Help Desk on 1300 667 276 between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. on weekdays. And I can say that information and questions raised through the Help Desk have helped us to shape the questions that we've responded to today in this webinar. Finally, thank you to everyone in Victoria in particular. Thank you again for your continued strength in the face of adversity. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy days to join us and hope this session has been of benefit to you. We will continue to provide updates as the situation evolves, and we wish you all the best. Please take care.